Thoughts on 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Judgment. Judgment. Now let me read the verses. 1 Peter 4, verses 17 to 18. You remember we're dealing with suffering. And this is in a section, a large section, dealing with the believer's progressive sanctification. Verse 17 starts like this. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? 1 Peter 4, 17 to 18. The believer has to suffer now. The ungodly are in the driving seat, it seems. The believer must not suffer, though, as a sinner, as a meddler, as a thief or whatever. But as a Christian, standing for the name of Christ, he must not be ashamed, but rather praise God that he's privileged to be suffering for Christ. But there is a reckoning day coming, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. The believer now is part of that body, which is being judged even by God now. But of course, there is coming the great reckoning day. And that great reckoning day, the judgment beginning now with the family of God. But if it begins with us, says the apostle, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? So we're talking about comfort for saints. That's what I see here. Judgment now for the saints. Of course, there's discernment in God and he reproves and rebukes. But I think in the context here, I would see this more in the line of comfort. But there's conviction here for the sinner. There's judgment for the sinner. Not only when he is aggressive against the saint, but for his refusal of Christ. So, suffering now brings judgment, and it's a twofold, believers and unbelievers. And this is no small matter. Eternal consequences hang upon it. Believers, brother and sister, that judgment begins with us now. Verse 17, now, the family of God, now. We who believe, 1 Peter 1, verses 2, or 1 and 2, elect according to the foreknowledge, by the love of God there, sanctification of the Spirit, obedience to the blood of Christ, and so on. This is the lot of God's elect. They're the righteous, verse 18. They're the believers who are righteous in Christ, justified. But there is another judgment for the unbeliever. For the unbeliever, those who will not, do not refuse, those who refuse to obey the gospel, they will not obey the gospel. If it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what would it be for the ungodly and the sinner? What about those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? John chapter 3 is very clear. This is the condemnation that they have refused Christ. They have not believed in him. They will not believe in him. It is Christ is the great test. This is no joke. It's hard for the righteous. Even now we are being judged, brother and sister. God is weighing us and we meet his disapproval at times. But we also know that our sufferings, our tears are cast into his bottle, as it were. He knows. But what will it be for the unbeliever? Now, do you see the apostle ask a question? What will it be? What will it be? He asks it twice for the unbeliever. What will it be for the unbeliever? What will it be for the ungodly? Now, I'm asking you, unbeliever. I'm asking you. You see what God calls you here? Ungodly sinner. Now, you hear the questions. What will it be for you in the judgment? The answer is not given here, but the answer is implied. You see, Peter is leaving you to fill the answer in. And I urge you to fill the answer in now. If I refuse to believe, I shall perish. And this is more powerful than a statement. I've just told you the statement. But now here's the question. What will it be for you if you refuse to believe? I ask you again. I say it again. This is no light matter. Persecution, suffering, refusal to believe Christ, the judgment, it's all here. These are very serious questions. No joking matter. People laugh it off. They're fools to do so. They're their own worst enemy. May God awaken us to take a different spirit.